I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here. Lord, we are here. And we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega. Coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel. Each week we introduce you to members of our church staff or our community. I consider it a true treat and a true treasure. Well, as you know, I'm always joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas, everybody.
Stand, God, ship, Christ, us the devil, Hallie. How are you?
Ooh, awesome. I am blessed. How are you, Gray? How was your week?
Oh, Hallie, I had a great weekend with my teens in Climax.
Awesome.
You know, I'm just really into recruitment right now.
Oh, cool.
You know, because I'm trying to grow our numbers, because I really believe that if you can get a teen to Climax once, they're going to come again.
Aww.
And so I did this really cool event this weekend. It was called Skate the Pain Away.
Skate the Pain Away?
Yes.
Ooh.
And what we did is built this huge half pipe in the gym, because apparently teens really like skateboarding. And what I did was, before you can drop in, meaning, you know, before you can actually skateboard on it,
yeah,
I would do a prayer with them, and we would just ask God to take away the pain in their life and replace it with grace.
Ooh.
It was just so moving, Hallie.
Well, I'm glad it was a success.
It really was. Well, I mean, you know, we did have 9 broken bones, which was kind of a disappointment, because I guess a lot of them had never even skateboarded before, and this was a pretty big half pipe. But, you know, I really do think they took a leap of faith, and that is important.
That's the important part.
But, you know, in personal news, I had a really romantic virtual date this weekend. Yeah, with my girlfriend, Becky DeBupo.
Did you go to Buca de Beppo?
No, why would we do that?
I don't know.
No, actually, we went to Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah, I love Olive Garden. Well, she went breadsticks.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, she went to Olive Garden, and I actually drank a recovery shake in the parking lot of a Dick's Sporting Goods. But you know, we just got good FaceTime, so she can eat what she wants, and I can eat what I want.
A FaceTime date because she's still out in Waco.
Right, she's in Waco, Texas, and you know, it was just so great. We're just getting so close. She's thinking about quitting her job as a Christian educator and moving here to be closer to me.
Great.
I know. And I told her not to because that's just moving way too fast for me. But I did convince her to get bangs, which I was excited about just to frame her perfect, beautiful lady face.
Oh, that's so sweet.
How was your weekend, Hallie?
Well, great. It was kind of a big week for me because I don't know if I told you about my first shot because I didn't really have any reaction. But this week I had my second shot, so I'm max vax, baby. I'm vaccinated from the virus.
Oh, really? I'm not getting the vaccine.
You're not?
No. I don't think Christians are totally on board with the vaccine yet, Hallie.
Oh, no.
I've heard a lot of bad things.
I shouldn't have gotten it?
I mean, it could be. I just don't know, Hallie. I'm just going to wait a while because I just don't trust it. You know, you can't really trust the government. And I'm just going to wait for a while and do some more study, you know.
Oh, you're going to research, like, if there's, like, long-term effects of the vaccine?
Or... No, I just want to read the Bible more and see what it has to say about it.
Oh, study the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope I didn't make a terrible mistake.
I know, Hallie. I mean, that's pretty risky what you've done there, but, you know, I'll pray for you.
I guess I just didn't think about it. I wanted to be able to, like, do everything again. It's so annoying, pandemic.
I know.
I should have thought more about it because I did hear a few people in Congress say that it's the mark of the beast.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Just, you know, you might want to get into the text a bit more before you just go ahead and stick a needle in your arm that, you know, maybe the Antichrist.
Well, I did. And the Antichrist and the mark of the beast is referenced in Revelation 13. And I read the whole thing. I looked forward and backward and it says that literally, and it says literally, the mark of the beast will be in the hand, the palm of your hand, or your forehead.
Well, where did you get stuck?
They did it right here in the top of my arm, like my shoulder muscle right here.
Right. You know, sometimes I worry, like maybe back then they could have called the shoulders the hands or something. You know, you just don't know.
Oh. Well, it seems like Revelation. Well, I was worried because, you know, I thought maybe the mark of the beast could be a card that you carry. And then after you get the shot, you do get this CDC card.
Right.
I looked at all the commentary on the book of Revelation 13, and it said that the mark of the beast will not be a card. And, you know, they're thinking it's going to be more a chip that goes into your hand or your forehead like a microchip. And it is going to be only for people who worship the Antichrist. The book of Revelation says that there will be the Antichrist and then there will be his false prophet.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's Joe and then the false prophet is Kamala, but
probably
she is pushing it. And it says that the false prophet will be the one who requires the mark of the beast. So to prove that you worship the Antichrist. And it said the Antichrist will be marked by 666, but we're not exactly sure how. I don't know if that'll be June 6, 2006. Well, then... wonder what Joe Biden was doing in June 6, 2006. We should look it up.
Well, he was definitely probably still in Congress because I think he's been in there for 100 years. He's so old.
He is kind of old.
I know, it's totally sick. Anyway, I mean, it could be a microchip, Hallie, but I mean, I'm considering getting a microchip because Elon Musk is doing this cool thing where you get a microchip placed in your brain and then you can just pay for things by looking at them.
Well, just make sure they don't put that chip in your forehead. That's all I got to say.
Well, I actually already got one.
You got it?
Yeah, it's not activated yet, but I got it.
Great.
Yeah, I know. Well, you got the vaccine. What?
Well, hey, we got to hold each other accountable that neither of us start worshiping the Antichrist.
I know. What does that even look like, though, Hallie?
I don't know. Maybe putting a Joe Biden flag in your yard.
Oh. You know, I've never seen one of those.
Yeah, maybe they don't make them.
Because I really value truth, misinformation
really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Just like Jesus descended to hell to defeat Satan before Easter morning, our guest today descends a pole to teach Christians about the Bible and about our bodies. Oh, it is so exciting to me. Please welcome Carmen Esperanza.
Just want to do a quick correction.
Oh, so sorry.
On air.
Okay.
Yep. So you said that I descend the pole, and specifically, it's an ascension pole.
Ascension.
Oh.
And I think this is a really timely, it's a really timely conversation. I know that's part of why you booked me here today, but even you're saying that as part of the intro, I don't mean to be so upset right now, but it's just been a pretty tough few weeks. So
I can imagine. You just in absolute, before we get into just full on crisis mode, which I'm sure you're in pretty constantly recently, tell us a little bit about pole dancing and what you're up to.
And Carmen, I do have to say, I want to apologize because I was thinking of it like a fireman's pole.
Right.
Like, you know, you go down to get in the fire truck, but you know what? I want to bring you in different. I would say, well, just like Jesus ascended to heaven, our guest today ascends just like the Apostle Paul. It's Carmen Esperanza. How's that?
Yeah. Yes. I really appreciate that because here's the thing. You know, over time, as we grow up, our bodies still need this sort of athletic output. You know, we need to stay in shape. This is the temple. The body is the temple.
Yeah, that's right.
So
totally.
We have to stay in shape.
Totally.
And also we have to stay connected to others. And we have to have that experience of community prayer followed by a sweaty exertion.
Yeah.
And so I want you to know, just like everybody else at our church, you know, we're not from the past.
Right.
Right? So I might have grown up playing soccer or softball.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's now.
You know, right.
Yeah. The 2020s. And when I, a couple years ago, came and I pitched this idea for a pole dancing class, the idea was I've seen this fitness craze hit Instagram, and I knew that people were using this to, you know, to feel comfortable with their bodies, but I saw how unclean and impure it was.
Oh, right.
For instance, You don't need to be scantily clad.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I mean, Carmen, I've seen this trend kind of happen. You know, it used to be pole dancing was something you saw that was just, it was a real shame. And it just, you know, it grieved the heart of God to say, what's wrong with these girls? Why are they taking these type of jobs? They're just going to end up with Tony Soprano types who are going to smack them around. The shoes look uncomfortable. It doesn't seem like a good path that anyone wants their daughter or sister going down or whatnot. Then all of a sudden, women started saying, no, no, it's a good workout. And I'm doing it to have a little fun with my spouse. And so then it was like, well, maybe parts of it can be redeemed and okay. And now you're taking it a step further and saying it's not just about athleticism or, you know, titillating your spouse, which does honor God for sure. Now you're saying we can learn about our bodies and we can be treating our temple, our bodies as temples, to go the long haul. And maybe it's for me. It's not just for my spouse. It can empower me and make me healthy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I was on a family trip to Vegas to minister.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
In the streets, you know.
Oh, good. Awesome.
You're out in front of the casino. You go into the casino. And what you need to do in order to really connect with people, play a little. You know, get into a few games. Because when you're at the table, you know, when it's, who was at the table most? Jesus. You remember him.
That's totally.
The table.
That's right.
And so, you know, when you're at the table, that's really the moment where you can say it to the people around you. What are we all doing here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I didn't know before this trip is if you lose a certain amount of money, they will give you free tickets to whatever show is happening at that particular hotel casino.
Oh, cool.
And we did this so many times and we lost so much money that had been contributed. You know, there was a fundraising campaign at our church.
For missions.
Yeah, you exactly. Yeah. You know the
totally.
One. It's a large cheese ball bucket from Costco and then you pass it around and you stuff individual dollars in there.
Right.
And you'd think that that had been what gave me this idea, but it wasn't. So I lost so much money that in individual casinos, they were giving us free tickets. And what does every hotel casino in Las Vegas have on site?
A buffet?
That's a great idea. Any other guesses from either of you?
Oh, you know, I've never been inside a casino, but I guess what I'm imagining is probably like
a morgue?
Right.
Cirque du Soleil.
Okay.
See, that is so cool. That is awesome.
Okay.
So here I am, not, you know, very similar to Hallie.
Yeah.
Very similar situation where, you know, I had thought this was for working girls.
Uh-huh.
And then I go to the Cirque du Soleil show. They are in the water going up and down on a pole.
What?
It's athletic.
Yes.
There's makeup and costumes.
Oh.
From where I sat, when somebody's going up and down, I always think heaven to hell, you know, or hell to heaven.
Yeah.
That's how every time I ride an elevator.
Really? You're thinking about that? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I won't go down.
What about escalators?
No, see, an escalator I will take down.
And, okay.
But for an elevator, I'll take the stairs, but I'll ride it up.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. That's good. That's good because it's easier to go downstairs if you're hoofing it. That's a good system.
Now, Carmen, I did want to ask you, because I saw the little video that you put out, you know, inviting everybody to pole dancing. And what I thought was really interesting is that you said, guys, you know, poles weren't just for strippers and, you know, ladies of the night and prostitutes. They were also, you know, there is a biblical foundation for being on a pole.
Yep.
And I just thought that was such, because, you know, there were all sorts of pole imagery in the Bible.
100%.
You see images of Jesus as the shepherd. He's not carrying a hula hoop. He's carrying a staff, and a staff is a pole, and a pole could be holy.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm not trying to blow your mind here, but you take one pole, and then you nail a second pole across at a 90-degree angle, and we're talking about a cross.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that. That is awesome.
That is so cool. If a pole is something that can actually teach us about more about the Bible, you know, with specifically your angle of pole dancing, I mean, you really do have to kind of use the pop culture stuff, don't you? You look at the Super Bowl and you go, well, there's J-Lo up on a pole in the middle of the halftime show. And I'll tell you what, we used to think a girl who was 50 looked like a golden girl. Now it looks like that because the athleticism and the dedication that it takes to be on these poles.
Absolutely. And I would add to that, sure, it is one thing to play sport.
Yeah.
And to use your body, to use your temple to further a team goal. Isn't that what we're all doing here?
Totally.
But it is quite another to pursue an athletic endeavor wherein one is suspended in the air. And who is holding you up? And who is holding you up?
Jesus.
Now, some people... Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Because some people that don't see the connection would say, you, the person who's doing the dancing with your own arms.
Strength.
Uh-huh. Amazing. Uh-huh. So, Carmen, you know, I'm just so interested in this because, you know, the last week for you, I would say not a lot of people knew even what pole dancing was until the last few weeks. And then, you know, you've been in crisis mode, basically. I've seen you answering your phone many times, sending out many tweets about this new video, this sick video that came out that basically tainted pole dancing for you and for the whole church. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So Lil Nas X, who is a secular performer.
Yeah. Okay.
And I wasn't honestly not familiar with the work that he did, but aware of his presence in our system, in our system here on Earth. Mm. Because when somebody introduces that kind of rhetoric or those kinds of beats that just feel so evil, they feel so tainted. And that's how he has felt, especially because his first, you know, entree into the scene was with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, right.
Which, I, you know, for any fan of Billy Ray, and not Miley, but Billy Ray himself, that felt already tough. So he was on my radar for that reason. Somebody to pray for and avoid.
Awesome. I didn't even know he was the same guy that did that Billy Ray song. That's crazy. The same guy. How could you do a song that was so good like that and then do something like this? It just breaks the heart of God.
Yeah, it was family friendly, wasn't it? It was like the Old Town Road or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, for me, when I heard that, I thought, what is he talking about, though?
Right. What is he talking about?
I mean, because I understand you might have had some sort of lighthearted interpretation about it, but I didn't feel that he was speaking in a one-to-one way about the things that he was saying. Because it's like this country song, this cowboy song, and, you know, I don't believe that outside of Nashville, people making music about Old Town Roads.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that can be taken seriously. I think that it's code.
I see.
Really? I just never think of songs as ever meaning anything but exactly what they mean.
Did you find out what Lil Nas X meant by that song, that country song?
You know, I have... I'm giggling a little bit because you kind of put me on the spot there. And I have no idea what that song is about. I heard you both say that you took it literally. But I did not take it literally. Nor could I figure out a figurative meaning. I felt stumped.
It's also, I never would have thought that until you said it, but I guess I'm just prone to take things literally because that's how I look at the Bible. I take everything in the Bible. You know, these aren't metaphors. These aren't just, you know, life lessons that we can discuss and have conversations about. These are hard and fast rules. Like, this is a science book. It has everything that we literally need to survive. And so I guess I just take things literally.
Boy, you know, I hear you. And here's what I think is the important point. Music.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
In music, we use, you know, I will raise you up on eagle's wings, anything that you might hear in church.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's not a literal eagle.
Right.
And we have to know which animals are literal.
Really?
Where Jonah would go into the belly of a whale? Yes. Mm-hmm. But are we going to ride on eagle's wings? No. And you can even figure it out by, could a person fit into a whale? Yes.
Uh-huh.
But could I ride on an eagle? I'm too heavy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So there's a pretty easy way to figure it out. And music tends to be full of these things.
Yeah. But music, I know that the evil one can really use music to tempt people and to pull them, you know, to make them go astray.
We've known this for a long time. Tipper Gore was adamant that this was true. And I really respect her for that to this day. And so we know that this is a path.
Yeah.
We know that. And by the way, you know, dance for the Lord, that's something that's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that, mm-hmm. you know, sing before the Lord, but not everything.
Yeah.
Right.
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 So you have to know the right things and the wrong things to do.
So when it comes to this new Little Nasty X song, what was going on with this song that has really just, you know, put you on high alert?
Yeah. And has it really hurt your ministry? Has it hurt Paul dancing?
Yeah. It's tough because I feel that now I'm being misinterpreted.
Oh,
you know,
no.
I came and I said, this is an athletic feat, and it has nothing to do with anything else beyond that.
Yeah.
You know, and you can be fully clothed, and you can go up and down. You can arch your back. Mm. You're gonna hook your knee mm-hmm. around it and sort of swing toward the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And that's all pure. And you can wear your purity ring while you do it.
That's
and it's
right.
not, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
And then this guy comes in. And so I don't know if you've seen the video, but this is really, you know, this is really why I had to have a full response ready for our community. Because this video for this song, this young man, he's taking a pole down to hell, which,
oh, no.
First of all, you can see now why I was so upset by the initial intro. Because
right.
if I think that poles go up, if there's uh-huh. an ascension pole, right. and then he's taking this long pole down to hell, I think, I didn't even think it could go that direction.
Right.
Didn't even think a man could get on a pole. I thought it was only for the gals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no, they can, Holly.
That's a good point, because not only was he on the pole, but what he was wearing knee-high boots.
Oh, no.
Which, as you know, we don't wear that. The
right.
boot stops at the ankle.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
stop from a snake bite or something if you're out walking.
That's right. Otherwise, it's just asking for it when you dress like that. You're saying, I'm open for business. It's like a sex shop.
Yeah, there's a reason that is the main image from the movie Pretty Woman. What is she? She's a prostitute.
Right. Oh, my goodness gracious.
So he rides a pole down to hell? This has got to be a pretty long pole.
He rides a pole down to hell. It's too long of a pole.
Right.
Way longer pole than the one we were using in the gymnasium.
Right.
Okay. And we actually, just so you know, we actually have 5 in there.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I was thinking those were volleyball nets that didn't have nets strung across them.
No,
but,
no.
And then I was like, what's this one over here for? But so, oh, those are all poles. Okay.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And then seated at the left and the right of those, the 2 additional thieves that were murdered alongside Jesus Christ.
Awesome. Oh, I love that.
Awesome.
And I did love, and I did notice that you guys did put cross, you did put the beam across the top. So they do kind of look like 5 crosses in there, Hallie.
Yeah,
cool.
And those 2 bandits are used to hanging up there. Yeah.
You just put a chin-up bar right across the middle, and it does, you know, I don't want to just vaguely know Christ's experience. I want to know it physically while toning my body, which is his temple.
That's right. Now, Carmen, tell me if this is too personal a question, but like in terms of your weight training and whatnot, like can you do a pull-up with your upper body strength?
Well, I have to use another member of the class they hold on to each leg, you know,
uh-huh.
2 members, one member could do it sometimes, but usually 2 members, depending on how many people have showed up on the particular class. And we support each other. So we don't need to do it alone.
That's cool.
I see.
Yes, God is hoisting us, but yep. we also hoist each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, no, my upper body strength is, I would say, average or below average.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could tell that by looking
wow.
at you.
Wow, and you can still do it. That's so cool.
Well, because it's not about, you know, I'm not trying to get paid.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it's cool that you know, you took a thing like pole dancing, which could be taken the wrong way, and you named it Paul Dancing. And I think it's so specific. It's so interesting that you specifically chose Paul, because he seemed to be someone in the Bible who was really wrestling with his physical body. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak and stuff like that. And we can use his example to say, I'm going to integrate the strength of my spirit with the strength of my body. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, and also, you know, who would know anything better about repurposing names than Paul himself, right? Saul to Paul. That's his
wow.
journey.
Wow.
So pole to Paul.
Awesome.
You know, it goes very much in line with everything I know about that person.
Yeah.
And to bring this all back though to this video and why it was so upsetting and distressing, because not only is the pole taken down to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sick.
But Satan is there. Satan is home. This young man arrives, and
oh no.
There is a lap dance that happens. And I wouldn't even, a lap dance is what I heard, you know, I turned on Fox News to see what's the take on this, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when I heard
phrase,
a lap dance. But I'm going to tell you what it looks like.
Okay.
Sexual intercourse.
Oh, no.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. This is just so sad. Oh, so sad.
Sexual intercourse with the devil and this a full smile.
Oh, it's with the devil.
Yeah.
And it's 2 guys? Is the devil... It's 2 guys? Is Little Nasty X a guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I am... This is so... This is confusing. I just don't get it.
He's the guy in knee-high boots.
Yes, of course, Lucifer is...
Okay.
A fallen angel who, I mean, we don't know. Angel anatomy is a whole
I mean, how do you,
other
yeah,
thing
how do you
I
even
have
do
personal
that?
Theories on. And I don't know your, I actually don't know your individual. This is something that it's a personal stance.
Uh-huh.
Angel anatomy.
Mm-hmm. Well, my thought on Angel Anatomy was always that it was a bit smooth, you know, just kind of like you get a Ken doll when you're a kid and you're looking at it and you're going, there's nothing there, you know.
Right.
I've honestly never thought about it. I know these angels are great warriors and I know they have swords, but I don't know. And I've never thought about what they have under the gowns. And I mean, I got to tell you, Carmen, I just have to be honest about it. I have seen the video because I got a teenage son named Day, and Day had seen it. And so I said, well, I got to go see what Day has seen. So we can have a God-honoring conversation about it and try to, you know.
That's very good parenting.
So I watched the video, Carmen, and because my son, Day, the problem he had with the video was that the Lil Nas X guy goes down there and doesn't get consent first. He says, Ma,
oh, wow.
He just crawled on top of the devil and started going at it. He didn't get consent. He didn't get a verbal consent. There was no conversation. We don't know what the devil's experience there was. And I said, well, I don't think that's the conversation, Day. And he said, Mom, watch it. And then Satan's face is very, it's hard to read his expression. Is this being forced upon him? Does he like it? He doesn't seem to be letting us know how he feels about it. He's a very expressionless lover, if in fact you could call this, you know, a lovemaking session, which I'm not sure. It seemed like Lil Nas had his pants on the whole time, unless he had some open crotched pants.
To acknowledge consent is to acknowledge that sex will happen. And when I think about that in a high school situation, you know what I got in high school? We watched a videotape of an abortion.
Oh, no. Are you scarred for life? How did you survive that?
No, I thought, thank God this is being shown to me and every other young person who walks through these doors.
Wow. I mean, that is such a good foundation if you think about it. I do love what it seems like you're doing in response to this video, because when I came through the gym the other day and I heard you talking to, you know, you probably had like, you know, 8 to 10 ladies yeah. gathered around, and you said, I want everybody to bring some $1 bills and we're gonna have a little fundraiser here, and we are gonna donate for every dance that one of us gets up and gets on the pole and does the whole thing. We're gonna throw a dollar at her, and then we're gonna take all that money and we're gonna donate it to an organization that is trying to get that video shut down, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. Yes, that organization is, there are a few young people who will go on YouTube, and they know other young people, and they will create a team of flaggers is what the word that they use, and the women are called flagettes, and they will flag videos, and they'll do it so many times that YouTube has to respond. So we are paying for their sandwiches.
Oh, that is cool.
Because it's usually a lunchtime thing. You know, they're in school. You know, they're in virtual school or in a place that we might live. They're in real life actual school.
Now, I've noticed that you, to go back to the personal sort of, to go back to the personal stuff, you know, I did notice you still have a purity ring there, which is cool. I really like it. Kind of a thumb ring style.
Very cool, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And I think that's awesome because, you know, a person of your age, and I'm guessing you're about 50.
I'm 50.
Oh wow, I nailed it. Yeah, I think it's just awesome that even though you clearly are still, you know, maybe looking for that special person in your life to share your life with, you still wear that purity ring. And I think that's a great example.
That's exactly, well, age doesn't affect purity. That's like if you get fish from the store that has been available for a while, but it's still the best fish in terms of quality.
Totally. Yeah.
That's fine to get.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm saying? You get the most expensive fish on the menu.
Okay.
Regardless of whether, what day it is or how recently it's been caught.
Ah. Okay. Yeah.
As long as it's expensive.
You get what you pay for.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Now, Carmen, I want to ask, because I'm going to be very honest with you. I am intrigued, and I have not been a part of pole dancing heretofore, but I am interested in possibly coming. But I got to tell you, I have a strange relationship with my body. I don't like to think about my body or touch my body or look at my body or have anyone else touch it or look at it. And but I'm interested because I have my Fitbit and I do my steps every day, but this seems like something I could crank it up a notch. But I just feel very, what's the word, dissociated from my body.
The good news is we are not, while we are connecting with our bodies as a tool, we're not connecting them with them in any other way. You don't have to look at yourself and we don't look at you. And that's why the dress code is a leotard with tights and on top of that, a baggy sweatsuit.
Oh.
Because the leotard and tights, that's important for just the sort of friction and tension that you need against the pole.
Okay.
You know, if you just have only a loose suit and then that falls down, it's impossible to imagine how you would stay up.
Okay.
But when you, what I found is that those two materials work together to sort of create it's a cushiony, billowy suction.
Yeah.
And so it's, you stay up, but you're not revealing too much of yourself or others. It slides really nicely on the pole.
Do you ever run into, do you ever run into problems though, if you're never looking at each other and you're there sort of trying to catch each other and, you know, lift each other, like you said, because I did see, you know, a few of the ladies trying to pick up another lady and put her up on the pole. You know, do you ever run into a problem just with the spotting when you're not really looking at each other?
No, because we use verbal commands, you know, a classic hut.
Okay.
You know, a circus hut. Yeah. You all know.
Uh-huh.
Hut. Uh-huh. Like that.
Okay.
That's when you're going up. That's when you're coming down, moving around. Hut. Like that. And so it's a classic.
Okay.
And that's been used by circus families for generations.
Oh, now Carmen, would I be allowed to do the tights and leotard covered with, I really like a tunic length billowy linen blouse from like a Chico.
I so understand what you're talking about. And I've actually, you're not the first person to ask this question. But the problem with that is when the garment does not hit your natural waist, then it can create a barrier around the knees. And we really need these knees. So the tunic, you could wear it if you'd have to roll it up and then wear sweatpants on the bottom.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I could.
Because it cannot be too long.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, of course, I wish we could wear tunics.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Because then who would we really look like?
I guess Jesus, right? I mean, was Jesus always wearing a tunic? I guess I kind of imagine him sometimes like he's wearing kind of like, have you ever thought about the... Have you guys ever seen those like things that they're wearing like old Western movies that are like two leather things with like bullets on them? I always kind of thought maybe he would wear something like that when it was hot outside, so that he's, because he's got like, you know, a bit of like, he's got a bit of scripture in there and he's got all his, you know, all the disciples like maybe kind of like dressed up like, you know, cool commandos or something like that. But yeah, I guess tunic. I guess Jesus in a tunic. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, your image is so beautiful. And I've never seen that anywhere or heard of it.
Really?
That reminds me of, I've seen you a few times, sometimes over some of your sleeveless tees, you've been wearing that leather, those leather straps that have a big like metal circle in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a cell phone holder, Hallie.
Oh, that's cool. Now, Carmen, I'm wondering if, I mean, I have such an aversion to my own body because it's very imperfect. It's got a lot of flaws and, you know, things here and there. And to the point where, Carmen, even when I go into the take a shower, I will, you know, lock the door.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll cover the mirror so that I can't see anything. And then even when I'm in there washing my you know, bits and bobs, I have the thickest possible loofah that's on the end of a bamboo holder, so that when I do have to go into the, you know, under, you know, like where, you know, exchanging the oil type of getting down under the carriage, that it's the thickest possible loofah, so I'm actually not touching anything, you know. And now that I'm thinking about it, I would at first be very uncomfortable if some gals were touching my body, supporting me and spotting me, but you know what? I might get to the point where I start to tolerate it, then maybe even get comfortable with it, and then who knows? I might end up even liking it and feel connected and bonded to these ladies and like comfortable, like, you know, it's okay.
Right. I mean, you are going to have a feeling of teamwork, and you're going to have a feeling of love for others, but I don't specifically know. I mean, here's what I'll say. I don't have mirrors in my bathroom. And so when you revealed that, even that's tough to hear, you know, and I don't think that we're trying to get you there, right, to a place where you can look at yourself and be obsessed with yourself, but it's more about what can we do together and what can I do as using this temple for someone else, that someone else being Jesus Christ.
So great.
That's so great. It's awesome.
It's so awesome. And I just want to ask you, while we've got these listeners, what can they do to really support what you're doing in this awesome ministry, you know, pole dancing right now?
Well, the biggest thing that we need is money. You know, we talked about it earlier, but these individual dollar donations, and we actually don't need more than that. You know, it's because each person can just do a little bit. So if you want to mail $1, take $1, put it in a business envelope or something that's a little lined, and then put that right in the mail to our church, because that'll get to me. You know, if you put attention, Carmen, you don't even have to use my last name. Everybody knows who I am in there. You know, attention Carmen, Ray Paul dancing, and pop a dollar in the mail, and you know, hopefully it'll be raining dollars through the U.S. Postal Service. Well, you know, I didn't mean to mention the U.S. Postal Service right at the end. It's such a hot button topic.
And I think it's awesome too, because you've been really getting the word out. And I've noticed that even though you've got, you know, just a dozen or so ladies in there on the pole, when you put those videos up on Instagram, they are getting, I mean, tens of thousands of hits. Yeah. And I'm just hoping that if, you know, every person that is watching those videos sends a dollar, you're really going to be in business.
Imagine if I had $10,000.
Oh.
What, how much, you know, is that even?
Yeah.
How much, you know what I mean?
And Carmen, if you ever take another missions trip to Vegas, count me in, sister, because I would love to get out there in the world and not of it. And, you know, we could hit some buffets and stuff, see if we could go see Ka or Beatles Love or something.
It's a very affecting place to be. If there's ever a place that can make you feel that you are making the right choices in your life, it is Las Vegas.
Carmen Esperanza was played by Cameron Esposito, and I've got to tell you, oh, she is top-notch, and I love her. Check out her book, Save Yourself, her podcast, Query, and all her incredible stand-up specials at CameronEsposito.com. You can thank me later. I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, and if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.